Friends, this is Susie Larson, and thanks so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. To learn more about the show and to listen to other Live the Promise shows, log on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you're listening today. A very happy Wednesday for you. Here's my question for you. Ready? What's your favorite Tim Hawkins clip? What is it? Send me it by name, by email, with your mailing address, and you might win a copy of Tim's new book, Diary of a Jackwagon. So here's what you do. Email me at Susie at MyFaithRadio.com. Put in the subject line, Tim Hawkins. Tell me what your favorite clip is. You don't have to get it exactly right. Maybe you want to say that Chick-fil-A song or that body fat clip or whatever. Make sure you send your mailing address because I'm not going to chase it down, all right? So the first few of you to send me that information, most likely you're going to win a copy of Tim Hawkins' book, Diary of a Jackwagon. So I'm not going to waste another minute. Let me tell you about him and we'll get him on the show. Described as one part gifted and two parts twisted, Tim Hawkins highlights the brokenness of human nature while marveling in its absurdity. He performs live for 200,000 fans at 120 sold-out shows every year. He's kind of a big deal. His audience continues to grow with 300 million views on YouTube and 500,000 Facebook fans. Tim and his wife, Heather, live in Missouri with their four crud muffins. You can find him on the web at diaryofajackwagon.com and timhawkins.net. Tim, welcome to the program. So nice to meet you.
You too. I don't know who that guy is you're talking about, but it's good to be here, Susie.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of a big deal, so you should meet him someday.
He sounds cool.
He's really cool.
I want to get to know that guy.
I'll try to hook you two up after the show. How about that?
Thanks.
You're welcome. So we like to start out all of our programs talking scripture, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just a verse that you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Well, my favorite of all time was Psalm 34, verse 8, which just says, and see that the Lord is good, have to take refuge in him. You know what? I've just been kind of going back through just some of the latter part of the New Testament, and just like it's just so rich, and Hebrews and James and John and all these guys were just so encouraging, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I've been just really getting back to, you know, the Bible is really cool, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's really good stuff. Like yesterday, I was talking about in Hebrews, it talks about the blood of Christ and what he's done and the old way of doing things, the old covenant and the new covenant. And in here in Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, he cleansed our consciousness from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. What more do you need than that?
Yeah. When you think about that old covenant was glorious, you know, Moses' face shined, you know, how much more glorious is the covenant that Jesus sealed with his blood for us? Really amazing.
It was an outer washing, whereas Christ, he says, he went right to heaven before God, and it's an inner cleansing. It's a cleansing of heart. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you look at all this stuff. I mean, I'm from St. Louis. I'm from, you know, the Ferguson, you know, around the Ferguson area. It's like all these things that are popping up all over the world. It's a thing. It's about the heart. That's where the battle is. And so I don't know. That encourages me a lot.
Wow. Love that too. Thanks for sharing. Hey, before we get into the content of your book and namely the title, which I can't wait to hear about, tell me a little backstory, if you would, on just your faith journey, how you came to Christ.
I was a drug runner. I sold guns to Mexico. And then
my
sixth birthday, I turned it all around. I turned it all around. No. That's the thing. It's like I was saved when I was six. I do a joke in my show about, you know, about how we all, a lot of us in the church, we're raised in the church, don't have these rock star testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're, you know, we hear these people come to church and just give these, these incredible come to Jesus testimonies. And, you know, we're all sitting in the pew like, oh, I hate my testimony. I wish I was addicted to crack, you know. Like, so, but I found out self-righteousness is a lot more dangerous and scary than drugs, to be honest with you.
You know, doesn't tell as well in a story. You know what I mean? I used to be really full of myself and self-righteous, you know. It's not as interesting, but it is just as devastating, you know.
It makes you cringe, doesn't it? You know,
sure
when
does.
I think back about the way I treated people because I thought it was, you know, it was works based and all that religious stuff. And but thankfully, you know, I think it's just good teaching and getting a hold of you know, what the gospel really is. You know, because I was saved and I was young and I was always. I don't know. A lot of comedians don't like God at all because I think they had a bad church experience, and I didn't. I met wonderful people there. I knew they weren't perfect, but they were real and they loved me. And I just love going into churches and doing what I do because you never know who's going to walk through the door. So I love it.
Hmm. Well, Tim, when did you first realize you were funny, and did you realize it before other people did?
I don't know. I'd started when I was young, I could mimic. I could like do voices like Scooby-Doo and, you know, Bugs Bunny, you know, and Looney Tunes voices and things like that. And I was pretty shy. Still am for the most part, but that was kind of the way I broke the ice. Is I knew I could do something funny. So I was the funny guy, not necessarily the class clown, but, you know, somebody who could, if need be the life of the, you know, life of the party or the life of the living room, whatever it was. Hmm. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to play Chipmunks records, you know, the Chipmunks.
Yep.
It was a real high voice. And me and my brother and my cousins would lip sync it, and my relatives would give us money. Hmm. So
that was your first gig right there.
That was my first. Seriously, it's like I really enjoyed that, and I got paid for it. How can I do that?
Yeah. It's a clear sign that was your calling.
I think so. And I think it's true. Most comics, they just, you know, they're in the living room and they can, you know, it's the feeling you get when you can do something that makes other people respond that way, respond with laughter and just bending over, falling into the floor. And there's really nothing like it.
Well, how did you officially first get into comedy? I mean, outside your living room?
Well, I mean, back in the early 90s, I started going what they called open mic nights at a couple of local comedy clubs in St. Louis where, you know, every Tuesday, Wednesday night, it's amateur night. And you go out for 3 to 5 minutes and just do your best. And
that takes some guts.
About the same time. It really does. It's weird. Making your friends laugh is one thing, but going in front of strangers, that's a life changer. That's when you realize you're really not that funny in front of strangers. You got to make some adjustments, you know, because not everybody knows who your boss is at, you know, Olive Garden. So palpable for strangers. But actually, at the same time as I was doing that, I started performing like at youth groups and church groups. And it was better in the church because they give you more time. You know, like that's the big thing. Stage time is that's a hot commodity. That's hard to come by. And where you're getting 5 minutes a week, you go to some lock-in. This youth guy is like, dude, take him for an hour. Just do something. So I would take my guitar and just try to survive.
You know, I can see teens just eating that up, you know, Tim, just because kids still aren't afraid to laugh. But adult Christians sometimes get too serious for their own good, for our own good. And I'm wondering, did you face any obstacles along those lines?
I think that's the perception. I've found it not to be so much. I mean, I do my act more geared towards people my age, you know, more to adults. I mean, let's face it, a lot of times if you go to a family night at the church, then it's going to be for the kids for the most part. And the parents just have to endure it. And the comedy is really geared towards, you know, from the age of 30 to 70, really. And then I think the kids like the energy and they get it, but to be honest, I'm not there for them. I'm there to more so. I think that's where I'm here to encourage adults.
Wow.
So, but yeah, you're right. I think, it's weird when you're being in a church. Sometimes people are like, we're in a church. Should we be laughing here? It's, you know, but now, you know, churches now, you can't even tell what denomination you're in most of the time, because churches are so more modern, and it's hard to, back in the old days, you know exactly what kind of church you were in, yeah, just by the architecture. So
yeah, you know, things have changed. Some things good and some things not so much, you know. We need to take a short break.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Tim Hawkins. Title of his new book is Diary of a Jackwagon. We've got a few copies to give away. So here's how you can enter to win a copy of Tim's book. Send me an email, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Tim Hawkins in the subject line. Tell me one of your favorite Tim Hawkins clips. But remember, you got to send me the mailing address because I can't chase it down. We're taking a short break. When we come back, we'll hear more about the content of this really soon-to-be-a-classic Diary of a Jackwagon. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to comedian and author Tim Hawkins. He's got a brand new book out titled Diary of a Jackwagon. It's really kind of a journal of a lot of his comedy. And what's so funny, Tim, I read in there is that you said, you know, people think that you're famous, and you thought that was so funny just because you speak to hundreds of thousands of people, that you have a tour bus, that you're immensely talented and ridiculously handsome. You're not sure how people can gather that you're actually famous.
I deal with lots of stuff. I mean, my Pomeranian has a cough that won't go away. There's a crack in my helicopter pad that we need to seal up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I deal
like
with
everybody
stuff.
Else.
I understand the common man. I understand the common man, Susie.
Okay.
So
I apologize.
Judge me all you want.
Yeah,
I'm noticing a little bit of judgment in your voice,
yes.
So we need to tone that down a little bit.
Well, I really don't know how to talk to famous people, so I'm feeling a little off, you know, off balance here.
I'm a big deal. Like I said, 300 million hits on YouTube. Of course,
yes.
Half of those are from one homeschool family in Idaho. That doesn't bother me. That's not important.
You know, my putting you on a pedestal is my issue, and I'll get over it. I'll get past it here.
I mean, I belong there. I know that. I know that. But if everybody was great, then nobody would be great. Doesn't
exactly.
that make sense to you?
It makes sense, as much my small brain can conceive of what you're saying. I think I'm grasping.
I'm glad somebody said something. It was getting awkward.
It was. Now that we've broken the ice, you know, and we've got the social hierarchy worked out, we're going to be good. Okay. So
like we Christians say, he does. She's not a gossip. She has the gift of discernment.
Exactly.
I have the gift of discernment.
Yeah.
And just
you're superior.
That.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. So you wrote a song about things you don't say to your wife. And I just, you know, I want to put you on the spot and ask you to break out in a cappella and sing it for us, if you would.
Oh, sure. Hey, honey, have you gained some weight in your rear end? Whoa. The dress you wear reminds me of my old girlfriend. And where'd you get those shoes? I think they're pretty lame. Would you stop talking? I'm trying to watch the game. If you're a man who wants to live a long and happy life, these are the things you don't say to your wife.
Wow, that was amazing. There's a few more choruses.
I remember the day I wrote that.
And?
I remember the day I wrote that, and it's like getting a theme is the challenge. But once I had that theme, I wrote it in about 10 minutes.
Wow, you were off to the races.
It's so easy to come up with. I need to write a second version.
You should. Does your wife roll her eyes at you ever or often?
Let's see. My wife is she's got good feedback. I mean, being that she's not a comedian. Hmm. You would think she, you know, but she knows comedy, and she knows she doesn't give me courtesy laughter. So I'll usually come with her with like a theme or something, like a topic, and I'll ask her, is this legit? Do you think that's something people will relate to? And then she'll say yes or no, or we can talk about that. I don't bust into, you know, material on my family, but they are, even my kids, I mean, they're really great because they've been around it for so long, and they're not, you know, they're not going to lie to you. And
right.
So if I know, if I can make them laugh, I know I'm doing something. I'm on the right track. Oh,
that's awesome. So, okay. Title, Diary of a Jackwagon. Where'd that come from?
Yeah. I got to go. I got to mow the lawn. No, it came from, It is. It is. It's weird as Christians look at it and, okay, what does that mean? And, well, somebody, Susie, a few years ago on Twitter didn't like a tweet that I had, and he said, Tim, don't be a jackwagon. And I'd heard the term, but I didn't know what it meant. So I Googled it. And then it comes from the military. A jackwagon is something when they needed to cart things around and they didn't have anything. They had to build these wagons out of junk, old spare parts of whatever, wheels and stuff and metal. And they called them jackwagons because they would break down and you couldn't rely on them. And there you go.
So I don't get
it. Like, the guy was right.
Really?
What's that?
I don't get it. It seems like another one of the Christian cuss words because, okay, make the application. How are you being a jackwagon by what you tweet?
No. Well, I tweeted, I forget what it was. He just didn't like it. And he said, Tim, don't be a jackwagon. And I found out jackwagon means something that's unreliable.
Oh.
And, you know, breaks down. And I'm like, that's me. I'm like, the guy was right.
Thanks for walking me through that.
Do you speak English, Susie?
I could not make the connection. I'm just like, don't be, okay. All right, moving on. Okay, here's a tweet that you once tweeted that you said life is like chess. The big dude can only move one square at a time, and the queen gets to go wherever she wants. And I'm thinking, so what's your point? I mean,
I'm tense right now. So what is your agenda?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with that the big dude can move
that's
on.
That's a little self-deprecating. Chess. The queen gets to. Isn't that weird? The queen goes wherever, backwards,
yep.
Forward, diagonally,
yep.
As
yep,
many
yep.
Spaces. And the mm-hmm. king's like, I'm going to go one space back.
I like that tweet.
I do. Well, Greg, good for you. I say that like in arguments between a man and a woman. It's like the men are on the same page. It's just we don't know how to read. That's how we feel most of the time. So it's that whole one step behind men feel sometimes.
Mm.
And I know you don't understand it.
No.
But
I'm really sorry you feel that way. But I'm super happy about my own mobility, though, I wanted to say.
Great. The queen. Do you sit on a throne while you're doing the show?
Throne of lies. Okay.
Is Dennis Rady feeding you grapes right now? And Bob is fanning you with a huge yes. palm branch?
Is there a problem with that? I'm just wondering.
Your feet are dead. Your feet aren't even touching the ground.
They're really not.
The throne is so big.
Well, now we understand.
You have a bear skin just draped over your shoulder.
Do you see how things have changed in the last 20 minutes? Where once you were superior, now you're not so much.
Yeah.
Yes, my plan is almost complete.
Well, I think that's kind of endearing about comedians, and that's what I try to do. I mean, I do poke fun at other people, but I do make it very clear that I am, you know, needy and not perfect. And I think, you know, it's not most of the times people laugh at my stuff, not because it's witty. It's just because they relate to it.
Yes, absolutely.
That's where I get the most. That's, I think, where the success comes from is just telling the truth.
Yeah. Daring to say what other people are maybe thinking, right?
Yeah. And I'm not trying to, you know, I don't try to push the envelope and I don't try to, but I think, you know, comedians want to be edgy, whatever that means. I think just be funny. I mean, that's what's, especially Christian comedians, be funny. You don't deserve anything just because you're a Christian. Be good at your craft. You know, if you're a plumber and a Christian, just clean pipes well, do your job well. And then, you know, and what I'm finding is now at these shows is that God has opened these huge doors, these opportunities to go to another level. And like, as I have insights and through the word and just, you know, trying to walk in spirit and in truth, just letting it come out in these shows. And it's really cool. It's not just laughing and going away. There's people are, I think, getting encouraged by what we're trying to do out here.
That's great.
I know you're not encouraged.
No, right now, I'm very impressed and encouraged, and you're back on the pedestal where you probably should be, so it's all good. But no, seriously, though, I think it seems like it would be tougher to be funny. It would be lazy comedy to be crude and be on the edge. Like, you have to really dig deep and think about things to be truly funny and appropriate at the same time, right?
Oh, yeah. It's they say you can make a funny act dirty, but you can't make a dirty act. You can make a clean act dirty, but you can't make a dirty act clean. And that means, really, I love the challenge of, well, it's who I am, you know, to doing a clean style. But it's just, it's a great challenge working within those parameters. You can't rely on, you know, the shock value and all that. You just have to be fun. To be funny and to be clean, to me, is very shocking. And and I think people really respect that and they love that. And to be honest, a lot of people love comedy, but they get passed over. They're not going to go to a comedy club because you're just going to get abused. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it used to be bad. It's worse now.
Oh, you mean like they pick people out of the crowd and make fun of them?
Well, just the material, like you said, it's crude. It's just really, and people keep trying to set the bar higher and higher. It's like, where is she going to go? I mean, you look at some of the most successful comics in history, and they've been some of the, you know, cleanest. It's just people who, like I said, relate, and they're talented and just great entertainers. And so,
you know, we have to take a break in about in a minute here, but I got to ask you, who are your comedic inspirations? Anybody that you really have admired and maybe learned from?
Dennis Rainey. I can't listen to that guy without just busting a gut. I mean,
poor Dennis.
I can't even say his name without how that guy's employed. some of my favorites have always been the physical comics, like Jerry Lewis growing up. Jerry Lewis, Steve Martin, those guys, Rip Taylor. I was, you know, Seinfeld was really, really, really amazing. A guy named Brian Regan is one of my favorites.
Him. Mine too.
Brian Regan was a guy, he kind of broke the door open and showed me how funny you can be. And it's always good to have somebody you'll never be as good as, and that's who he is to me.
Wow.
But yeah, I love, you know, this, just, there's a really good new Christian comic out. Her name is Taylor Tomlinson. She's doing some shows with me this year. She's like in the finals of Last Comic Standing. So, I mean,
wow.
And it's great. It's great to see different styles and the way people approach it. And I try to glean and just, like now when I watch a comic, I'll just look a little more like the craft. How does he open a show? How does he close a show? How does how do they do it? And there's so much, because there's no manual. There's no.
Yeah, it is an art form. You know, it's an art form.
College.
We need to take a short break here. But, you know, I know and I'm sure that there are many other comedians looking at you the same way, Tim, just really looking at how you hone the craft and how you manage it. But even how you very humbly manage a very big platform. And it's such a delight to see. Well, I'm talking to Tim Hawkins today. The title of his book is Diary of a Jack Wagon. We have to take a quick short break. As I said, we're giving a few copies away. So send me an email, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Tim Hawkins in the subject line. Tell me your favorite Tim Hawkins clip, excerpt, funny joke. I want to hear about it. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a real fun conversation with Tim Hawkins today, comedian and author. Title of his new book is Diary of a Jack Wagon. If you just tuned in, you've got to go back and catch the podcast of the full show because we've had some belly laughs already. Big shocker, I know. But I got to ask you, Tim, when you think of your material that you put out there, have certain jokes and stories landed even more funny than you thought they would? I mean, have there been any surprises for you? Have you been able to pretty much predict what's going to land and really be a hit?
Well, that's the fun part of it, is that you just sometimes you don't know. I mean, the jokes, there'll be jokes that you think, this is genius, this is going to change the world, this is my, you might be a redneck, like
moment.
Jeff Foxworthy has, and it goes absolutely nowhere. And then it's like I said, like the song, I have yoga pants. It's a song called Yoga Pants. And I'm like, this is the most ridiculous song. And now people are angry when I don't perform it. So, that's the beauty of it. Usually when I do a piece of material, I'll have like three or four jokes as the core. And you'll find which one's the strongest one. And then from that core idea, then you build on it. Then you build on, you know, you take one sentence at the end of a year can become, you know, a 3 to 5 minute bit, because it's, you can build on that strong idea. So that's the fun part of it. You never have it nailed. You never have it totally figured out. And if I did, I think I'd probably quit.
Yeah. Well, I like how you're taking your cues from your audience.
Cool.
You know, I mean, you're taking your cues, you're paying attention to what, but you say in your book that worship leaders could probably maybe take their cues from their audience at times. That sometimes the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. I know where you're taking this.
So
just lead me around by the nose. Lucy. And
try to keep up.
I am not your monkey boy. I am not your monkey boy. Just perform for you and your throne.
Come on, please.
Edie, you get a big box of ding dongs. I know. You're just toying with me.
Yes.
No.
Okay, let's talk about what you want to talk about. Go ahead.
No, that's great. The worship leader stuff, I love. That's got to be my favorite. Besides homeschool material, the church material is the best because it's inside stuff. It's like when you do comedy in churches, it's almost like an inside joke that people don't go to church a lot and understand. Like, yeah, with worship leaders, I'm digging it. But for one thing, can we sing a song once in our life that's in a key everybody can sing in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not Barry White. I'm not a Bee Gees. Something in the middle, Chris Tomlin. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. A lot of us, we're not slain in the spirit. We're run out of breath. Just pick something normal. And another thing, maybe mix in a few more hymns. I like worship songs. They're cool. But sometimes with hymns, you know when they're going to be done. You know when they're over. First, second, fourth verse. Take out the evil third verse. We never sang. There was something in the third verse that we weren't supposed to hear back in the Baptist church. But hymns, you know when they're done.
And you also have a problem with the lyrics, too, because they bend more towards the female perspective.
Yeah, we got to do something about that. It's just, I want to see your face. I want to touch your face. I love Jesus. I don't want to touch his face. Maybe, but I'm not going to sing about it. I brought a friend here. We work, you know, he's the contractor. I don't, you know, we need something a little more manly.
Like.
That's what I'm saying. Just mix in a few more manly worship songs, like, watch the game with me, Lord. Just sit here in silence. No talking or questions. And fall asleep halfway through, you know, something like that.
I think we're getting a big amen from the men listening today. So you're speaking for them.
I would sprint to that church. I would love it.
Okay, how about health and fitness?
That's always fun.
Let's talk about health and fitness for a minute, because you said you're not anti-health. You're just pro-taste.
I am pro-taste. That's the thing. My friends are all about getting abs. That's the thing. Abs, abs, abs. And really nobody cares if you have abs. They look weird. If you're a 50-year-old guy with abs, you look like a Ninja Turtle. It's like old men with abs, it's like you don't have anything to go with it.
I mean,
what good are six-pack abs and a hairy back? I look like a centaur, some kind of mythical creature, you know?
It's not
it's
right.
It's like I don't want – I want candy more than I want abs. You know, that's my thing.
Yeah.
I am more drawn – candy kids, it just keeps getting more delicious the older that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's just take people like, I understand, take care of your temple. Your body's a temple, but it's also just, hey, I get it. If you're eating a certain way, just don't push me so hard. You know, Tim, be a vegan. You need to plant-based. It'll change your life. Vegan. I'm like, no, I'm a megan. That's right. I'm a, That's where me eats what me wants again and again.
That's
and that works for me.
Yeah,
I mean, Susie, the other day I ate some cheesecake, used a piece of bacon as a fork. It was awesome. I could feel myself dying. It
and
was
you
an
can do that.
Experience.
Yeah, and it's yours to do. I got nothing.
No, it's true. It's truthful. It's like you get to a certain age and you got to realize this is about as good as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to be honest with you, I think a lot of us are just a little bit too much into it. I think if we just do a little bit every day, work out a little bit every day, make good choices as much as you can, just a little bit every day, I think we'll be all right.
I think so too.
So
yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Hey, you mentioned your brother Todd in the book, and I have three brothers and three sisters, raised with big brothers, and I raised three sons. So I always appreciate brother stories, and I had a good chuckle mm-hmm. reading about your good brother Todd. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Todd is, it's cool when your brother's your best friend. He's actually my manager. He's been he took the reins of the business side of it, you know, about 14 years ago. And, you know, yes, he did used to beat me with a wiffle ball bat when I was a kid. But other than that, it's turned out, I don't know, are you talking about a specific story?
Well, I think he was, I can't remember, had something to do with the slide and heat. If I remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing about our playgrounds. You know, you look at playgrounds today and nobody gets hurt. I noticed kids don't scar anymore. They don't have, when I was growing up, kids had big scars for something that went horribly wrong on the playground. I mean, it was just a bunch of steel on cement. That was
that's
our
why.
Jungle gym.
Yeah.
They call it a jungle gym. And somebody was getting seriously hurt every week. They didn't change it. That wasn't even a thought in their mind. They're just like, you need to learn how to use the jungle gym. There was no rubber mats or wood chips or helmets or lawyers. It was just, you know, that you don't see some of those
deal
rides anymore.
And now
you don't see the merry-go-round anymore. You remember that?
Right, I do. Yeah.
Well, it was there was nothing merry about it.
No.
It was the tear-go-round is what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
you knew that ride was over when your tough-skinned jeans flew off into the distance. You're rolling in gravel.
Yes. And nowadays we have long labels about this toaster, you know, no forks belong in it, or a blow-up thing. There's a paragraph, not to be inhaled, eaten, are used in a bonfire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like all the disclaimers are like, you mean people did this stuff? And now we're walking around with water
Somebody
wings.
Somebody did it.
Yeah.
I bought a beach ball a few years ago with a warning label on it.
Oh, my.
A beach ball. It's like whenever I see somebody with an eye patch, I'm like, probably a beach ball. One of those sharp beach balls.
Yes.
Right in the
You see someone with a stomach ache. Oh, did you try to eat a beach ball? Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yep.
I don't get it. I think it's good in some aspects to be, you know, because I'm not saying that it was better back then. It was just maybe we're just a little tougher, I guess. I'd like to see us get a little bit tougher.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
I don't know if it is either. Well, how about the section in your book, and I know you've got a spot on this, of Christian cuss words. Do you get in trouble for this one, or do people like it?
It's the opposite. I got more response from that on Facebook than any other thing by far.
Wow.
I got over 10,000 responses. Now, that's not likes. That's responses of people giving me ideas of alternative Christian cuss words. Because, you know, we've all made up our own, you know, like you stub your toe, you're in Jimmy Crack Corn, or Hezekiah, or Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, you know, what are Christians going to say? We just need more options, I guess.
So
give
us a few examples for those who don't know what Christian cuss words are.
Oh, my goodness. Rats, Gadzooks, Alex Trebek. Pat Sajak, son of a biscuit, son of a biscuit eater, son of a Baptist preacher, son of a bacon bit, son of a nutcracker, son of a motherless goat. I mean, the list goes on and on. We actually have a t-shirt with all of them on that. You can go to the website and help some people, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Get the word out.
Lord, help us. My goodness. We got to have our own swear words. My goodness. You know, I mean, you're an observer.
Susie, that's it. When I was a kid, and I don't know how you were raised, but I was, my mom, when you said the word darn, like darn it, she's like, don't say that. don't, that wasn't in your heart. That's what she, that wasn't in your heart. Meaning that I'm trying to, you know, I was thinking a worse word, but I said, you know, so that's what I was raised.
That's very precious, actually.
It's not my fault, okay?
No, no it isn't. I don't fault. Blame, I blame your mother completely, so. Okay, you know, it looks like here we need to take a quick short break. There's so many more things I can ask you about. So we just have one more segment left with Tim Hawkins. As I said, we've got a few copies of his book to give away. You will, your face will hurt. I'm telling you, if you have TMJ, it will spasm. Your muscles in your jaw will spasm as you're laughing at what he's written. Diary of a Jackwagon. If you want a chance at a copy, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Tim Hawkins in the subject line. Tell me your favorite Tim Hawkins joke, story, clip, and give me your address. Don't go away. More with Tim Hawkins in a moment. Doesn't matter how deep, how dark the night is. Keep hoping, keep on shining. And they'll see his light burning in your heart. And if the road gets rough, just keep your head up. Let the world see what you're made of. His love's alive in your deepest part. We are back. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is With a Promise, having a great conversation with Tim Hawkins. He's a dad, he's a husband, he's a comedian, and he's an author. Title of his book is Diary of a Jackwagon, and here's a quote from your book. None of us should run from faith over the fear of being weird. That's part of the fun. God did not make us to be normal. He made us to be supernatural, and supernatural is not going to look like natural. What with the super being added to it and whatnot. The Bible doesn't say God came that we might have life more normally, but life more abundantly. So it's okay to be abundantly abnormal. I'm not a theologian per se, but I think this makes sense. I think it makes sense, too. And I don't know, having walked through some pretty significant crises, health crises and different things, I love to laugh. And I think it's the saddest thing in the world when a Christian gets so serious that they forget about joy. They forget to not take themselves too seriously. What do you say?
Yeah, well, the Bible doesn't say our good works are our strength.
Yeah.
The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I tell my audiences, God is not a buzzkill. He's just not sitting on a cloud waiting for you to mess up. You know, the cross was a powerful thing. And so the Bible says when you believe in that, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are, not you will be. And you better not mess up or you won't be anymore. It's just you are. You're clothed in Jesus. And that means when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. I don't understand that, but I think that's pretty cool. And that gives me a lot of joy as well. So, I mean, I've dealt with it. Look, I tell you, a big thing now is anxiety. I've had some anxiety dealing with it. And you're like, where is this coming from? And it's serious stuff. But we have such powerful weapons, you know. God is good. I mean, he doesn't leave us out in the cold. He gives us, like, his word and fellow believers and laughter. Laughter's an incredible weapon. I mean, it helps us process things that we can't process any way else.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there's a physiological response to laughter. I mean, seriously, the biology of our body is actually healed that way. But, you know, what's interesting, Tim, is I know a number of just high-profile, you know, Christian artists and leaders who up to this point have never dealt with anxiety and all of a sudden have been turned upside down by it. And it just makes me wonder if that enemy has leveled this attack at many key people who are up front and whom God is using to encourage his people. I'm just hearing it over and over again.
Yeah, I think God wants to, he wants to turn our anxiety into excitement. That's the opposite of excitement is anxiety. He wants you to be excited. And, you know, we hang out so much in the past and in the future. We do. And God doesn't.
That's right.
He doesn't hang out with your failures of the past or your worries of the future. He's the I am. He's be still, know that I am God. He's be still. He hangs out here in the present. And it's, you know, even Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, just don't, you know, you can't do that. You can't mean that, God, when you say that. It's serious stuff. And I think that as the church, I think we're getting better at dealing with some of these issues, but it's for real.
Yeah, it is.
And but laughter is a great, you know, a great start, because I think with laughter, you just kind of, you put yourself, we put ourselves on the, like you said, we joke about it, on these pedestals, and like, if things don't go just perfect, then it's just not right. We're just so perfectionist in our faith and all this stuff. And we fight battles that just aren't. I think that's one of the problems.
Yeah. We do base so much on results and performance. And I think it steals so much of our joy and our perspective. And one of the members of Run Collective said that we've learned, he said that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. And I love that. Yeah. And you start to think about, the joy of the Lord is my strength in good times and in bad. To dig deep and find something deeper in Him, I think, is so profound. And, you know, as a radio host, there's been plenty of times where my heart is breaking behind the scenes. But as you hear, the show must go on. And I'm wondering for you, Tim, if there's been times where the last thing you actually wanted to do was perform. And I know what it is. You get up and you do it. And so often it's what you needed. But, I mean, can you share, if you don't mind, about a time maybe behind the scenes where you had to do that?
Oh, it happens a lot. It's when you put yourself out there and you speak a lot, you feel very vulnerable. Before you go out on stage, there's this wave of vulnerability that comes over you. And I don't think that's totally unhealthy, but it's something that just – it's there. I mean, you feel like a fraud. You feel like, what are these people doing here? But then I'll walk out on stage to a room full of people, and it's just kind of, okay, here we go. I'm driving the bus. This is what I love to do. And it is, it's just, it takes all the focus away from yourself. You're like, these people are here for a reason. I mean, a lot of these folks have been waiting for months to come to this show. So, I mean, there's a wave of gratitude that sweeps over me, and like, I'm going to do my very best. If this is my last, you know, if this was my last show, I'm going to do the very best that I can for even one. I used to worry about the one person that wasn't laughing in the audience, and now I'm there for the one who is. Even if there's one person, that's what I think about.
That's
I'm there
good.
For that person. And that totally changed my outlook. I tell folks, it's not about getting laughs. It's about giving laughter, because it's not mine anyway.
Wow, love that.
It's all God's. It's all God's. I'm just a conduit. I mean, it all starts with Him, right? It's like, we have peace because He gives us peace, and joy because He gives it to us. Bible says we love because He first loved us. I mean, He's the prime mover, and He's the one that starts all this. So I take no credit for it. I tell you what, to be honest, it takes away a lot of the pressure. Like, God, if they don't laugh at this, well, it's not funny anyway. I'm just trying to, you know, and it makes it more fun that way. It just takes away a lot of the so-called pressure. Just have fun.
Well, that's not a subtle thing. That's a massive shift in perspective, because it's more about now what you want for them rather than what you want from them. I mean, it changes the whole dynamic, doesn't it?
It does. It takes, because you have, it takes away, you know, certain expectations, like you said before, about results. You don't worry about the results. The results aren't your, it's none of your business what the results are. If you're a believer, especially, you just obey, you do your best to obey what God has to say. And it's his. That's where pressure comes from. You're like, if my kids don't turn out right, you know, that parents go nuts, and they do crazy things because, you know, they think they're in charge, you know, the results. It's like, you just gotta, you know, give it up, you know, give it up to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with comedy. It's like, I'm doing the best before I go on a show. This is the best I got. I'm going to give it the best I've got. Let's go die well. Like on Gladiator, they go,
yeah.
Die well, gentlemen. That's what I say to myself. Go out there, you know, and believe it or not, it helps.
That's really amazing. One thing I started years ago is, on Mondays, I won't look over my shoulder at my, you know, at how I delivered, what I delivered. I just, because I'm so tired that I just have to let myself go, Lord, I'm just offering this to you. Do what you will with it. But then when I get later in the week, if there's something I need to tweak, I will, but it doesn't feel as personal for me. Are there ways that you kind of guard your heart in that way?
of the material, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, even your performance, like, you know, coming off of it and you're tired on Monday, it would be so easy for that enemy to beat you up or to beat yourself up for going, oh, I shouldn't have said it that way or should have done it that way. Is there any, do you have to give your great self grace somehow to get through that fatigue recovery time?
Yeah, I think so. But I, the way I look at it, it's always, it's a continual just getting better. And it's almost, I've gotten to the point where I enjoy those small failures or those times where, hey, I didn't do this. I didn't perform this bit the way I wanted to. But I think, well, hey, I got some shows this weekend. I can trim the fat. I can make it, you know, a little more precise. I'll put this joke in front of this one, you know, and that's, to me, that's the fun of it. That's the craft of it. And then with communicating, I mean, like if you're giving speeches and you're giving talks, I mean, there's certain rhythms that you have, and my goodness, that's why it makes it fun.
Yeah.
You know, you can look back. I can look back at the end of a year and gone, you know, this 5-minute bit I'm doing was started out as one sentence. So
that's amazing.
I just love the process. I think I finally found something that I do like the process. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be pain. I mean, I can accept the pain. That's just something I can deal with.
You're wired for it. I mean, you clearly are wired for it, which is so neat to see you in your sweet
spot.
Like
those guys that handle snakes.
Just like that.
In India, they're getting bit left and right, but they don't care. They know it's part of the deal. Now, me and you, we get bit once, we're like, no. Back to the radio station.
I want my microphone back. I'm
but
a
they're
sissy.
Like, hey, that's right. But then that guy would be scared to do a comedy show. You know, the guy who handles the snakes. So it's like, well, okay. Mm. That's what I'm doing.
I guess I'll think about this later, but that you reached for the snake handler to make the comparison. But it works, you know. It's just like him.
Yeah.
Who handles
there's
snakes.
Pain involved. There will get bit. No matter what you do. Jerry Seinfeld said this. He said, you got to find something that you can do where the torture is most bearable.
Wow.
Where everything is torture. Working out is torture. Not working out is torture. I mean, it's just, you got to find something that you can, you know, that you don't mind it so much. And I don't mind failing at comedy.
Hmm.
I don't mind telling a joke and it doesn't get a laugh. It's not fun. But
you survive it.
You survive. You go on.
Mm. This has been great, Tim. And as we're getting ready to wrap up here, I'm wondering if you would pray for that person who's listening today, realizing as they're laughing at you that they haven't really laughed in a while. They've maybe been in that dark valley of the shadow. Would you mind, just as we close today, would you say a prayer for that person?
Sure. Wow, Father, in Jesus' name, Susie and I, we are believers. We are children of the King, and we just pray for anybody listening right now that has not experienced the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I pray all the promises of God over you. I pray healing. I pray victory over anxiety. I pray that a fresh excitement would come over the believer's heart. I pray that a fresh flowing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that people would learn how to walk in spirit and in truth, to trust God, that they would just, that we would truly, all of us, really just be kingdom livers and kingdom believers, walk in trust, not to be afraid of failure in our walk with Christ, that we would rest in Jesus and what he's done. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the authority you've given us. We thank you for breaking the chains and setting us free. And, wow. In Jesus' name. There you go. Amen.
Amen. Tim, what a delight it was to talk with you. You are a dear brother. I just have had such a good time chatting. Bless you for your time today.
Thank you. And as you get off your throne, Susie, and go to the break room to grab a coffee or whatever.
No. They'll bring it to me. I'm totally kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm totally kidding. I have to hop down off my stool and get it myself.
Awesome. All right.
Good to talk with you today. Thank you so much.
You too.
Yes.
Take care.
God bless you. Title of his book is Diary of a Jack Wagon. Again, if you want a chance at winning a copy, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put his name in the subject line in your favorite Tim Hawkins skit. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.